time for us to do our weekly check-in with our friend Kyle Draper of NBC Sports Boston. Hello, Kyle.
Hey, what's up, Rich? How you doing today, man?
Well, we're doing a little summer today. We've got warm temps and headed for the 90s for the next several days.
Exactly, right? Summer is here, right? This heat wave we're going through, hey, I'm all for it, man. You know, it's gets us outside, gets us hanging that, you know, the pool, the sprinkler and everything out in the backyard. So, yeah, I'm all for it.
Well, yeah, we don't have a pool. The sprinkler has been activated. We had a little water gun fight, me and the boy, yesterday. But, you know, maybe if you're working and we can socially distance, we'll make our way down and use the Draper pool.
Hey, the Draper house is always open. You know that.
I appreciate that. Well, as we try to get sports restarted, some hiccups here in the last week or so. Let's start with the NBA. What's going on with this and how do you see it ending?
You know, it's just players, I think, doing their due diligence, you know, questioning, you know, the safety of it, the timing of it. And I think, you know, I don't think there's like a faction that's saying we won't go to Orlando. Obviously, Kyrie Irving getting a lot of press lately saying, you know, they should start a players-only league or something like that. You know, I think that's all just smoke. I think ultimately what you'll see, the games will be played. I do think there will be a handful of players, maybe even more, that decide not to go down to Orlando for a number of reasons. One, the social justice issues going on, the safety of it, and also being away from family. And so Commissioner Adam Silver knows, you know, that's a possibility, but he says the games will go on. You know, the NBA is prepared for that.
And certainly I understand the players' point of view. Do you think that it is the right time to have sports return, given what's going on in the country with the fight for social justice and this increased awareness and what really seems to be finally a turning point in getting on the right track? Or can the league and the players use this as an opportunity with a fairly captive audience to push the issue even more and increase the number of discussions?
No, I do think they can. I think they can walk and chew gum at the same time. You can play basketball, and you can use that platform to get out whatever message you want. Because think about it. You know, the NBA is a worldwide league. You know, it's seen in, you know, 100-and-something countries, 200 countries, whatever it is. And so these players have a bigger platform playing. If I'm a player and, you know, I really want to make a statement, every press conference I have, every chance I can show, whether it's wearing Black Lives Matter t-shirt, any interview I do, I'm raising the issue of equality in our country. And if I'm a player, I'm also trying to put some pressure on these owners to also speak up and also, you know, use their power too to fight for equality. It's interesting because, you know, it equality should not be a political issue, and I know it has become that in some parts and in some instances, but this is something we all should be fighting for, whether you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter. Equality is something we should all be fighting for.
And you mentioned the global audience that the NBA has, and I think that's one of the reasons why I'm hopeful that this is really the start of something, the fact that we've seen these protests not just here in the United States but all over the world.
Yeah, and that just shows you, you know, how serious this is and how important, you know, what's happening now really is in shaping our entire world. You know, as United States citizens, Americans, we're supposed to be the gold standard. You know, we're supposed to be the greatest country in the world. And obviously, there's still some work to do. And, you know, I love the fact that it's not just an African-American issue. You know, you're seeing people in England, you're seeing, you know, people all over the world, you know, supporting this, France, Paris, you know, and so it's just not, you know, a person of color issue. This is a worldwide issue and by no means, Rich. I mean, you know, United States is not the only country with racism that's dealing with equality issues. And so, you know, I don't want to say, you know, come off as, you know, we're a bad country. You know, this is a problem worldwide. No matter what country you go to, there's some racism going on, and I'm encouraged by the fact that we're seeing people speak out about it all over the world.
And since we spoke last week, the Red Sox have come forward to say that they certainly accept the things that Torrey Hunter and others have said along the way about racist incidents happening at Fenway Park. There's a long history of that. And again, Fenway Park, not the only place this is happening. But for the Red Sox to finally step up and go, yeah, we believe those stories and we need to address this as an organization and as a city, again, I hope that's a positive step.
Yeah, definitely a positive step. And it's a step in the right direction. It's a step that was needed because, as you know, there are some out there who believe, you know, whether it was Adam Jones, Torrey Hunter, whoever it may be, that they were lying or just making it up. That's the thing I think about this movement that we're seeing now. We have to face some reality and really an ugly reality about what's going on in our country and some of our cities as well. And so I'm glad the organization said, you know what, this is happening, guys. If you don't believe it, trust us, this is happening. And that's the step. But, you know, like I said last week on with you guys, you know, it's one thing to acknowledge it, but it's another thing to really call it out and, have some consequences, hold people accountable. And that's just not the Red Sox to do it. That's for all of us to do in our everyday lives.
And it's as you said, that's not based on the color of your skin. It's incumbent on all of us. I mean, we teach that to our kids. As a teacher, we try to impart that to our students. When you see somebody doing something wrong, do the right thing and call them on that behavior.
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing how many adults, you know, preach that to their children, but yet, you know, don't practice it in their day-to-day lives. And I think people get comfortable. I think people are maybe afraid. They don't want to, you know, step out of their small little bubble to make waves. But, you know, for change, in order for change to happen, we do need to be uncomfortable. And it's not just African-Americans, you know. It's everybody. We need to have these uncomfortable conversations. And I want people to really feel the pain and listen and hear what people are saying because, you know, when you hear the hurt in people's voices, I don't know how you can't have empathy and be sympathetic to those people.
No, and I don't understand that there are even some people in the Boston media, the fringe, but still people in the media that refuse to accept this. And I guess I don't understand why. First of all, they would think anybody would make this up. What could possibly be gained by that? And why, based on their own life experience, they wouldn't think this is true?
Yeah, but, you know, I think they're pandering to their base a little bit. You know, they know that they'll have a segment of people that support them who don't believe, you know, racism exists or this stuff is happening. And so, you know, and that's part of the problem, you know, that I see here. People are so concerned about their own well-being, how they look, you know, that kind of thing. They're so selfish that they aren't even willing to hear opposing views or, you know, even have an open and honest discussion. You know, they're saying, you know what, if I take this stance, it's good for me and my family. It puts money in our pocket, and they're happy with that. What happened to being a decent person, being a quality human being, treating others how you want to be treated, you know? I feel like we've gotten to a point where money and material things have trumped, you know, just being a common human decency right now.
Well, and I don't think it's any great coincidence that a lot of the people claiming there is no institutional systemic racism in America are the same people who refuse to go and wear masks when they're out in public.
Right. It's amazing, right? And we're seeing it all around the country now because it's, we're seeing spikes in some of those places where, you know what, we don't need a mask. And, you know, it goes back to being selfish because even if you don't think, you know what, I'm not worried about coronavirus, I'm not going to catch it, why don't you just wear a mask for somebody else?
Exactly.
You know, to protect everybody else. Are we really going to go against the science and all the research that says, you know, if you wear a mask, the odds of catching it decrease dramatically, you know? And it just makes common sense. And so that goes back to people being selfish. I don't want to be inconvenient. As a matter of fact, I had a heated discussion with somebody I know a few weeks ago, and he thought the government was infringing on his right by having to stay home. He flew his flag, American flag, he flew it upside down, like it's tyranny going on, and we're being oppressed, you know? And it goes back to, like I was saying, people are so concerned about themselves instead of concerned about their fellow man and trying to keep everybody. I mean, because you have all the money in the world, Rich. If you don't have health, which doesn't matter, right?
Right.
So, yeah, you can have millions, but if you're sick, laying in bed, it doesn't matter. And that's something I've learned, you know, over these last few months. It's like none of that matters, man. You know, the material things, the money, it just doesn't matter. I understand people got to work. People got to pay bills. Honestly, because you got me on a rant now, I wish there was a way we could magically pause all bills for 3 months during this or something like that, because I do feel for the people that have to go out there and work and everything like that and pay their bills, not sure where their next meal is coming from. It's tough. I understand that. But, man, this coronavirus is no joke. You know, over 110,000 people already dead. And so I think we got to consider health and safety first.
Well, yeah, it's what we've been saying around here is really since either back in March or April. Yes, business closures are terrible for the economy. You know what's worse? 250,000 people dead.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, we talk about businesses and things like that, and I hate to see it. I know that's people's lifeblood, their hard work. You know, they work their lives to get to that point. If we could have some sort of temporary pause, think about it. If we all quarantined or wore masks the first month or two, then things would be so better. But the problem is we have, you know, a group of people, everybody's doing their own thing to an extent, and that's, you know, really slowing down the progress of getting past this virus. And we're seeing it in Florida and some of these other states, you know, who thought, you know what, as a matter of fact, I was talking to somebody in Arkansas the other day, and they said they never even really closed down.
You know, it
was always business as usual in some of these states. And like, you know, the virus can't travel over state lines or something like that. I'm just flabbergasted at the lack of respect for this virus that we have.
And it starts with the top. If we'd had some leadership, some federal government leadership and direction and some role modeling from people there, and I don't pretend to understand all the economic aspects of it, but boy, we've spent a lot of money, and a lot of that money, that stimulus money, went to major corporations that didn't need it. And if we had directed some of that money towards small businesses and individuals and done the things we should have done starting back in March, this might have been largely behind us as a nation by now.
Exactly. And it's not only that, too, but there's no consistent message from the top, you
right.
know? And you know, if we had a consistent national message, a national plan, this is how we should proceed and treat the coronavirus as a country. And I understand states' rights. Every state is different. Every, you know, county is different. But if we had a sort of national message, I think that would help out a great deal as well. You know, I feel like, you know, we're 50 states. You throw in Puerto Rico also, U.S. Virgin Islands, and every state's different, you know. I can drive a few hours to a different state and everything's wide open. You know, it shouldn't be like that, because we've seen people cross state lines just to go shopping or just to go get a haircut or whatever it is. And then they bring it back to their state. And so I just wish there was a national message, a consistent national message with this.
I'm with you on that. I think we figured some things out. And I think, look, it's too late for this year, but I'm already thinking Draper Kimball 2024 could be a pretty good ticket.
I liked it, too, because you had me at the top of the ticket.
Well, yeah, I know where the real leader lies right there. I'll be your number two. I'm happy to do that.
Exactly. I'm sure we do a great job.
Well, we couldn't do much worse. Kyle, great to talk with you as always, my friend. You have a terrific week. We'll check in next Wednesday.
All right. Talk to you soon. Thanks.
Kyle Draper, NBC Sports Boston and Downtown.